It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Heavy week, Nance.
No kidding.
Man.
No kidding.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any weirder.
Yeah.
Just when you thought it was already, you know, pretty strange.
Right, right. Well,
And the interesting thing about it is, you know, I don't have the benefit of understanding what it was like in some of the more tumultuous, you know, decades of this country's history.
Sure.
You know, from what I've told and from what I have heard from those who lived in previous decades, like the 60s, that were really, really contentious. And you were losing leaders, you know, like JFK and Martin Luther King. And, you know, there were riots in the streets basically on a daily basis. And, you know, not just surrounding, you know, political events, but surrounding, you know, just, you know, basic fundamental human rights and kids not coming back from war.
Right.
You know, by the thousands in Vietnam. I mean, we have had periods in our history where it's been obviously heavy. And we've also found a way to endure. And so, you know, when I thought about what I wanted the topic for today's show to be, I feel like it's too big of a moment to just blow by.
Right.
It is. And to just talk about something, you know, light.
Right.
And I'm going to promise you that this won't be heavy. I think what this show is going to be is it's going to be from my perspective and from the perspective of, I think, my team, by extension of me and the experience that we're creating for people, you know, in moments like this, what helps, what kinds of things, what kinds of activities, what kinds of pivots help, I think, steady, maybe even out, maybe even, I don't know.
Uplift.
Uplift or also recharge.
That's a good word.
Replenish.
Right, right.
Maybe most importantly, nourish. Not even most importantly, nourish. I would say most importantly, connect. You know, Nancy, we've talked on, I mean, pretty much every show, I think that I probably do, we talk about how creativity connects.
Yes.
And fundamentally at the Design Coach and what I've always ever wanted to do, whether it was 25 plus years ago as a contractor or as an artist, all I ever really wanted to do is kind of share my gift to connect and to have people, you know, appreciate it. I mean, really the goal, I mean, now the goal is to, I want you to love where you live and I want you to create a style that's all your own. But back then, and probably still is today, to a certain extent, the goal was, I just wanted to create for others that which they might not be able to create for themselves, and also enjoy doing it with others who wanted to do the same.
Right.
And in essence, it's the offering of a gift. You know, we're not even having those discussions about sharing our gifts. We're more obsessed with being right.
Absolutely.
And we're more obsessed with making our point, and we're more obsessed with feeling like we're being seen and heard without ever listening. You know, that's really a tricky place to be. You want to be seen, you want to be heard, but you don't want to listen, because the listening is how you see and hear other people. So you want to be seen and you want to be heard, but you don't want to give that gift to other people. And that really, in essence, is the, right now what I'm going to call the wall. It's just the wall.
Can I just say that one of the things that is, it's so uncanny that you say listen, because this show is nothing but listening. If you right. can't do your job and you can't accomplish your goals and you can't make your client happy, and you can't, and I mean can't, do any of the things that you have set out to do in your life and in your career without listening. And if you relate that back to the unbelievably tragic event that happened last week. The one thing that if you know nothing else about Charlie Kirk, he was a listener. And if you don't believe me, you go watch 15 seconds of any video that is out there of him. And when someone else came up and got that microphone, he would set his down.
Well, and
yeah, he was listening.
He was actively listening.
He was listening.
And you know, Nancy, you bring that up because it's like if you follow the trail back of this political violence that we find ourselves in, this very strange period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I want to make sure that we move to the lift in the show, but I will. You set the stage very, very poignantly there. This entire wall that we've built up in the space of. You know, I want what I want. I want to be seen the way that I want to be seen, but I don't have to listen or see you
mm-hmm.
or appreciate you. That one-sided conversation is what I have found has led to so many problems.
Right.
And last week's show was actually very, the timing on it was uncanny.
Right.
And if you haven't listened to it, it was sort of the crux of the show is get over yourself.
Yeah.
Which is how you are your own worst enemy in collaboration because you get in the way. If you think about the ability for the indifference that exists out there in so many ways to not raise red flags or to not ask the follow-up question or to not see people hurting earlier, to be able to have really robust discussions at a younger age. Look at the age of these people who are committing the violence.
Right, right.
You know, these are not disgruntled. These are not disgruntled 55-year-olds.
Right.
Nope. These are what I would consider young adults and kids.
Absolutely.
I think that to me, that's the tragedy, right? Like the tragedy is who's not watching out for them? Who is not coaching them? Who is not teaching them? Who is just turning a blind eye? Who is not getting them early enough to say you matter? And yes, your opinions matter, but this opinion, this person's opinion matters also, and how to work out that difference early.
Right.
You know, we used to have natural mechanisms to do that. And I think on today's show, one of the natural mechanisms that I want to talk about, I mean, obviously we can go to the sports analogy where you need to learn how to be a part of a team and, you know, whether or not you're, you know what I'm saying? Like there's all of these other ways to do that. But I find at the elemental level, at a really foundational level, at least for me, the act of creation, both creating independently and then creating with others, there was both a peace and a solace in what I would call the retreat into the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that canvas can look like music, that canvas can look like reading, that canvas can look like a hobby.
Sure.
You know, by canvas, I use that in a very generalized term to describe kind of whatever you're into and whatever picture or gift you're trying to share. And even if that gift is something that you're just trying to share with yourself.
Yeah.
Just because you enjoy doing it.
Right.
There's that piece of it is, you know, when you turn inward just to sort of center, you know, which I think we're in this moment where I think a lot of people are really trying to figure out how to do that. I think there's a lot of people out there, how do you process this, right? How do you process it? And then how do you process it to then maybe affect change and heal, right? Probably heal first, then affect change,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we'll get into. So there's the internal piece, right, which just makes you kind of want to cocoon.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people who just were speechless after the series of events over the past month. I mean, honestly, it just feels like what used to be an isolated incident, now the cadence is significantly increased. You know, for me, I, in addition to the events that you referenced with Charlie Kirk, you know, you had the stabbing on the train,
yep.
which was just, oh my gosh. And then you had the kids who got shot up at the church. And it yep. was just like.
And while the Charlie Kirk thing was going on, there was another school shooting in Colorado
yes,
that we just, never even heard about.
And here's the thing. It's like, you know, we're going in, and we're speaking about this in circles. And on today's show, I don't want to do that.
Nope.
Like on today's show, I don't want to go to gun control. I don't want, like right now, I know, there's all these important topics about mental health and all of that is really important. And I certainly don't want to make this political. It's not where this is going. Nope. because where this ends up going is how do we break down the wall? And what are the active mechanisms that we can do both individually and collectively to help begin to break those walls down? And in my world, the only one constant in my life since as early as I can remember is I had creativity. I had the ability to create the world that I knew maybe I was afraid of or maybe scared me or I didn't like at a very young age, or maybe it probably more I didn't understand.
Right.
To then work out my understanding on paper. And I remember doing that at like such a young age that I just knew that when I was able to even sometimes just offer the expression, and I didn't even need to run up to anybody and get credit for it. I was just trying to work stuff out. And I obviously didn't have the thoughts when I was like really young.
Sure.
But I knew that it was helpful to just be in a space that allows your mind to begin to process. And I think, you know, we have that innocence of being able to layer in the complex, the more complex and more messy parts of life. Now it comes at our kids way too early, way too fast. And we're not realizing they just do not have the ability to process it.
No.
But we do it anyway. We do it anyway because we have this sometimes misunderstanding that it's like, you know, learning has to be layered. Now you can't crash course this stuff in middle school, right? You've got to have better mechanisms as you begin to sort of talk about when life gets more complex for you, how to have those coping mechanisms. And for me, it was always creativity. And the reason I bring this to the forefront is because, you know, if anyone knows anything about this show, it's never been about art only. Like, it's not about, right, like the fact that you need to be an artist or you need to be a musician or you need to have some sort of artistic inclination. It's about that you needed to be able to critically think and problem solve and try to come up with a solution. And what we've done is we've matrixed everything to make it so check the box and rubriced that we've absolutely lost what I'm going to call the free play that needs to exist creatively to begin to absorb and take in parts of our more complex world to make it make sense. We're not giving ourselves any time to process. And we're certainly not talking about the tools to cope and to layer the learning. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the lift. I want to talk about the lift that creating, not only for yourself, but that creating with others gives. And I want to talk about the power of building something instead of the destruction. Let's build something on today's show. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Link 96.1. Oh, Nancy, welcome back.
I know. Trying to push the right buttons.
Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Link 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, also available on Spotify. Listen, if you didn't catch last week's show, I feel like last week was a nice kicker.
Yeah, it was.
Into what we're gonna talk about today, and you know, with so much of the week being, you know, such a heavy processing week, I really feel like I want this today show, and I did feel like we did a decent job in the first segment on sort of setting the stage here, but I want to go with where we go from here, and I want to start with some of the advice that I gave my kids.
Okay,
you know, when I, as a father, as I feel the world starts to maybe layer on, and listen, let's be very clear about my approach in this. My approach in this is not political in this moment. My approach in this is not any of that. My approach in this is how do we do right by our children and by our young adults by layering on learning in a healthy, respectful, kind way so that they can break down the walls that everybody wants us to put up.
Right.
And remember what I said a long time ago. When there's a wall between us, remember that that benefits someone. See, whenever there's a wall, somebody wants it there. The walls don't happen by accident.
Right.
When there's a wall, whether it's created personally, when we emotionally wall up, or when we put up a physical wall, somebody wants it there.
Somebody built it.
So you got to understand that the first thing you have to realize is that if there's a wall, somebody, it's by design.
Right.
As is the ability to break it down.
But there's a lot of reasons why people put up walls. They think that they benefit from it. They think they're protecting themselves. They think that, but it's not usually true.
And to be honest with you, it's okay. Some walls are justified.
Perhaps.
Okay. Some boundaries are justified.
Boundaries are different than walls.
Right. Some boundaries are justified.
Right.
Where I'm at in this space is, I'll tell you what I sort of texted my kids after this. Because listen, whatever you want to know, like the news cycle now is just, it's unforgiving.
Yes.
You know, when we grew up, if you didn't turn on the news, you didn't know. If you didn't read the newspaper, you were,
yep.
You didn't know.
5 and 10. That
it was
it.
Interesting. I was hearing a comedian do a bit as I, you know, I loved stand-up comedy. So I was doing this comedian was like, you know, the world wasn't safer. We just were, we didn't know.
We were dumber.
It wasn't, right? Yeah, it wasn't there. If somebody pulled up in a white van and said, you guys want to go somewhere? We're like, yeah, we saw Scooby-Doo. Let's go. Like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't safer. Right?
No.
It wasn't. It's just, it's that you just didn't have to wear the weight. Right?
Yeah.
And there were also a number of different dynamics that played into, I would call the situational awareness of a neighborhood. The situational awareness where the indifference meter was not at a 9. Like, in other words, I don't want to get involved because I'm afraid, or I don't want to get involved because I don't want to get criticized.
None of my business.
I don't want to get involved because it's none of my business.
Right.
And that's how you get some of the crazy stuff that has been going on is indifference.
Mm-hmm.
People knowing kind of in their gut that something's off and not at least having the adult conversation, right, to be able to say, hey, let's have the tough conversation.
Or second guessing that
feeling. Or
guess
what? What I love is a series of small conversations that aren't as tough, but the longer you wait, the tougher the conversation gets.
Right. Right.
And that's what we do. We kick the can. And so on this show, I want to talk about the tools and the ways where creativity and the ability to share in a project or an endeavor, what that does for lift and building relationships.
What'd you say to your kids? I'm highly interested in what you said to the kids.
I texted them. Actually, I should
probably, because I got
to
tell you that the ages
you,
of
sure
your
that
kids,
right.
The ages of your kids, this probably greatly affected them.
It did.
Because that's exactly the age human being that he was trying to help learn how to communicate and get along in spite of differences.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I said, because I did not sugarcoat it.
No.
Okay, I said, love you guys. In light of recent events today and the evil that we know exists, because if you don't think it exists, you're lying to yourself.
Right.
The evil that we know exists, please try to channel your emotions to strengthen your resolve in the power of good. In God, in the blessings of this country, and in your love of family. When I go to core, that was just to my kids,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's beautiful. I'm going to cry. Thanks.
When I go to my core on it, those are the three things that I want them focused on. God's got you, even if you think you're alone. Two, this country is the greatest experiment on the face of the planet. And your family's your constant or your rock.
Yeah.
You got three rocks, or at least you got two rocks and an amazing opportunity.
Right.
You got God and your family, and you got an amazing opportunity here. Okay?
Right.
And listen, it doesn't have to be unique to the American experience. I'm sure that there are parents all over the world living in other countries who are saying the same thing.
For sure.
You are so blessed to live in Italy. You are
right.
So,
like, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that's what you do, Nancy. What you do is you try to let your people in your life know it's going to be okay because it's constant. And there are constants. You know, love is a constant. And for me, the expression of that love, like my love language, is creativity.
Right.
You know, it's the ability to build things and see things and then bring them to life and then inspire others to help me do it and then convince others to help me, let me do it, right? Like, if you think about all of the things that are involved in that, it all comes from and emanates from that spark of love, share, and creativity.
Yes.
Which was a gift to me. Like, I didn't, it was just, it's what I got. Like, right. That's my gift.
Right.
There's other things I don't have. Lots of other things I don't have.
Right.
I both marry and staff to all the other gifts I don't have.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I know that with my gift and their gifts, the combination and the collective power of that love and those gifts does big things.
And does big things to make people happy.
Well, but to then inspire them to contribute with their gift.
Right. Pay it forward.
Because listen, sometimes my client's gift is the opportunity that they provide.
Sure.
Not their level of collaboration or not their level of input in the design or in what we're trying to create. It's just the foundation. Like, I have the means to do this. I think what your vision is beautiful. Can you help me create it? I this is my contribution. And where that is almost like cosmic kind of fission, you know, like that where it just kind of keeps perpetuating,
right?
Is that when someone gets vulnerable enough to share their gift and then legitimately wants to partner with someone else who's vulnerable enough to share theirs and then find really interesting connection points on exactly how we're able to partner in the first phase, second phase, third phase, whatever it is during the project, all of a sudden there is a gravity there. I have seen it. I am living it. That when you create something of interest and say, get in it with me, it's built the right way for the right reasons, there's a natural human gravity, right, that's drawn to that.
Right.
And I think that, I do think that in a lot of ways, Charlie Kirk embodied that. Like, it was only about dialogue for him.
Right.
It wasn't about hiding who he was. It wasn't really about convincing anybody. It was just like, hey, this is me. I'll hear you. You hear me.
Right.
And that sometimes that tumultuous and sometimes the tension that is in there is actually the gift, right? The gift is that we're able to try to figure out, and I say this all the time, we're able to use our messy words to find a way to create beautiful things.
Right.
And we're able to use our messy selves and our flawed selves to do beautiful things because we do them with other people. But it starts with this understanding that the ability to create together, and it doesn't matter what that is, it can be at your kitchen island. It can be creating a meal. It can be doing a project.
Writing a song.
It could be creating an experience. It could be a vacation.
Right.
It could be an experience that you're crafting together. Whatever it is where you're trying to find a commonality in the joy of sharing and giving.
What's in you.
Yes.
Everybody has it.
Everybody has it.
Something.
That, and I think that's the tragedy.
Right.
That at some point, these people who committed these horrible acts weren't that way.
Right. Right. They lost
it, forgot
it.
They didn't come out of the womb with a rifle.
No.
Okay? So at some point, there was a moment or a series of moments where somebody was not encouraging them to give the gift. Share the gift. And if they wanted to be seen, they needed to understand that the contract, the human contract, is then you have to see others. There's the wall. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really care who built the wall. I don't really care why it's there. All I'm going to tell you is I will tell you that creativity tears it down.
Sure. 100%.
And it makes it almost evaporate. Because what's interesting is the moments that I have and that I've been blessed to have over 25 years, where even the most hardcore, I don't know, like, let's just say battle-tested contractor, you know, is really skeptical of who I am and what I'm trying to do. And,
right.
You know, like, I mean, I'm already an anomaly. I have called myself an acquired taste I liken myself to bourbon. I am distilled, and I can burn, but it's a lot of flavor going on if you try to enjoy it.
You have a lot of fun later.
I'm not vodka.
Right. Yeah.
I can pack a punch, right? And so in that is then I've had to learn over time, Nancy, that because words can be impactful and because words can cut, I've had to find a way to not only find a way to curate that and tactfully hone that skill. And I've used humor as the delivery mechanism at times to sort of get my point across. It's
sure.
it's almost like, oh, I just laughed at that, but did he insult me?
Oops. Wait a minute.
Sometimes there's a little bit of that in my delivery.
Well, yeah.
But that also comes from some of my upbringing.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's very much a healthy sarcasm.
Sarcasm was the word.
Yeah,
but
sarcasm isn't meant, you know, some people are like, sarcasm is just like veiled insecurity. And it's like, no, sometimes it's legitimately ironic and funny.
Yeah.
And we know, and, you know, I will say both of my daughters have this. They have this my son has it too, but my daughter's ratcheted up. Mm-hmm. They know when they're being shock jocks. They know when they're saying something that's just so hyperbolic and they're doing it a little bit tongue in cheek.
Sure.
Right? You know, there's always a percentage of it that's like, you know, because they're testing the boundaries of that communication, like I was when I was their age. And I've recognized that. And I never really looked at the words and I let the words hurt. What I was looking for was the intent behind them. And so when we talk about, and we're gonna talk about this in the next segment, because if we're to expound on our conversation about how creativity connects, breaks down walls, and actually gets us talking about the things that unite us and not the things that divide us, although we can talk about both. I think that there are common threads that we need to explore on the show, both internally and externally. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. Big sigh. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're exploring this topic that I think is it's really important to me right now, because I feel like it's even to this day, all of people are asking me, like, you know, through all of the things, because listen, I got stuff happening in my life right now too.
Yeah.
You know, which I won't talk about, but I've got stuff going on where, you know, heavy stuff, and I've got, you know, and what's helping is people are like, well, how can you work? You know, how are you working? How are you navigating? I'm like, what I do for a living nourishes me. And as long as I'm not neglecting the other parts of my life, I saw a awesome post the other day that said, you know, this true professionals don't, the best, most successful people don't talk about work-life balance. They've mastered work-life integration.
Ooh. Yeah.
They don't talk about hard cutoffs to recharge. What they talk about is this constant, if you love what you do for a living, it nourishes you, as does your personal life and your professional life. You talk about both things should nourish you. And both things have problems you have to solve.
Of course.
And situations that need your attention.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's
way balanced on one side or the other.
But to feel like you can time block that is not what successful people do. Successful people navigate their lives both personally and professional simultaneously.
Because when you try to time block that, that's when you don't sleep at night. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't dealt with it. You haven't processed. You haven't overcome whatever it is.
And I think what we'll talk about is that's actually a really good topic for a show coming up about how to do that integration.
Right.
And what your support.
I really love that.
And what your support network needs to look like. That's probably a great show topic for down the road. But in this moment where we're talking about the power of creativity to heal and to build bridges, and that those bridges can bridge gaps, mm-hmm. that's the focus of today's show. And what does that really look like? And what are the lessons that I've learned that I can share? Because I'm not guessing at it. I'm not coming to this station saying, you know, I have seen the most difficult contractors and the most difficult projects. Ones that had a race for time and big money on the line, what it takes to bridge those gaps.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and listen, there's a whole other cocktail there as well. But I think one of the things that it starts with is, remember when I said that if you're not taking the position of love and gift and nourishing yourself and appreciating whatever that gift is within yourself to be able to grow it, nourish it, and keep it alive, I think that's when people get resentful. I think that's when people start shutting down. I think that's when they stop talking. And when they stop talking, bad things happen, right?
Absolutely.
And so that conversation that we have vilified, in other words, we have that exchange, that healthy exchange of honesty with our messy words that we have vilified because we're so hung up on the actual meaning of the word, on what it means to us and the tone of it, instead of getting behind it and understanding maybe why somebody used that word, even if it was the wrong word. We're so obsessed with the debate that we stop seeing and hearing. Yet everyone wants to be seen and heard. I think that's the great irony.
Yeah.
Is that everybody is, look at me, look at me, look at me, see me for who I am, accept me for what I am, accept me, but oh yeah, but I'm not going to do that for you.
Right.
I'm not going to do that for you. That only applies to me. It doesn't work that way.
Nope.
And it certainly doesn't work that way in creativity. Like when we're trying to bridge gaps between an abstract concept and what we're trying to achieve, and it's not just cosmetic. Because if you know anything about the show, we do design to impact people's lives and help them live better. I mean, our right now, you go to our website, it is design better, build better, live better. And we believe that you do all of those with intentional design and intentional thought and with purposeful action and with clarity. The amount of pain that people are feeling in times like these, when they turn inward, I would say that if it's okay in this moment for a brief period of time to turn inward and to nourish that gift, it is the time to get back to your fundamental cores. Family, maybe it's your faith, maybe it's an activity that just gives you peace. And I'm not judging whatever it is you think it gives you, as long as you're not harming someone else.
Right.
Or yourself. Whatever gives you peace, find that gift that you can nourish, because if you're not doing that, you're actually not going to be happy. All you're going to do is you're going to keep coating it with more masks and more layers and more emotional band-aids and more justifications, and you're not getting at the growth of the gift that when it grows, it becomes so powerful within you, you want to share. We're not teaching our kids at a young age and helping them identify that gift. What we're doing is we're tracking them in the things we think that they need to know.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I will tell you that even when I was in grade school, I felt dismissed as an artist. And I knew my gift wasn't necessarily math.
Right.
And I maybe knew my gift wasn't some of the other subjects that other kids were good at. And it wasn't that I was bad at it. It didn't interest me as much. And there's a lot in that cocktail too, but the reality was it didn't come easy. And so therefore, that was okay in that moment. I probably could have been pulled aside and said, hey, Philip, I know this isn't easy for you, but let's work through it. I don't remember a time when anyone helped me work through my difficulty. I think they were more interested in making sure that the outcomes were even.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that there was an acceptable level of loss.
Right. Okay,
in someone's learning curve.
Right.
That's where I completely and totally believe that I had teachers that were so important in my life that sort of saved me. I had so many teachers. I mean, I had a family foundation, but I had so many teachers back then who recognized a gift, gave me an opportunity, and said, you can do both.
Sure.
You might not be as good at this, but you can work on that. And man, you are great at this. Let's
run with
it. And what it did, by the recognition of the gift, it made the deficits in my life feel less of a deficit. It made it feel like I could work on both. And in a way, so much of what I do creatively now and what I see my team working on and what I see teams working on a national level, as I see them problem solving together, and it elevates everyone. And the most important thing is it bonds everyone, regardless of your political persuasion, regardless of your background, regardless of your income level, regardless of your educational achievements, it bonds. It bonds. Because everybody has a gift somebody else doesn't have. The trick is finding out where that's valued. And it starts with valuing it in yourself.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We are so hung up on you must do this, you must achieve this, you must do this, that we have lost the ability or the commitment, maybe, to make sure that our young people know that, yeah, there's a few things that you must do. You must learn how to read. You must learn how to do certain things. But you can do this. You have permission to do this. It sounds to me like that's what happened to you when those teachers came and said, okay, you can work on this, but man, run with this. You were given the okay. You had big people telling little people that, yeah, you are going to be held accountable for learning these basics or making sure you accomplish this because we understand we're older than you and we know you need these things in life, communication skills and, again, reading and some of those things. But this is what we see in you. This is the bright light. Mm-hmm. And it's okay mm-hmm. to shine that light mm-hmm. as much as you need to and wherever you need to.
And when what we do, and what we've been doing, which is this degradation of communities that are different than ours,
mm-hmm.
and we vilify them, you make people ashamed of the light that might help theirs shine brighter.
Right.
You deny them that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, where I come from, that sort of make you feel less than, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is not good.
No.
It's not the force of good.
Well, it's not the force of good anywhere.
No, but it's the other force. The force of oppression, the force of sometimes the really, really significant evil that it can metastasize into.
Right, right.
Okay? Because remember, it starts there.
100%.
It starts with just keeping you quiet. Then from keeping you quiet, it goes to something really dark.
Uh-huh.
And I think in this country, we're trying to avoid that right now. I think we're at a precipice. If we don't find a more creative way to communicate, we have a big problem.
Yeah.
I am here to tell you that it's okay in the moment, and please just listen, especially to anyone listening who's younger. Turn inward and find that gift. And if you're having trouble finding it, talk to somebody about it. Talk to somebody about it. Because there is going to be somebody out there who loves you, who will help you articulate it.
Yeah.
And so much of this comes from the lack of articulation. I mean, Nancy, you and I talk about almost on every show how our language and our communication skills are just being, they're just being eroded in the current digital space. Yeah. That, you know, we're not actually having conversations because we're used to just abbreviated communication.
You know, there was a...
And we're also then... Even worse, not giving ourselves the time to have it,
right?
Because we're overscheduled and we're rushed and we can't quiet our minds to even attempt to find the clearer word. So we're out there with fire hoses, okay, of communication, and then the minute you get blasted by somebody else's fire hose, you just turn yours up louder.
Mm-hmm. Or,
I mean,
you turn yours off.
Well, yeah.
And that's the least healthy thing you can do. Because
about, yeah, I think when we talk about lowering the temperature, where it starts is lowering the temperature within yourself.
100%.
And that search within yourself to, you know, we talked a little bit about the better angel. I do believe they're in there. I really do. Mm-hmm. I do believe they're in there. And I don't believe in, I mean, listen, I believe in evil, but I'm not quite sure that I believe in you know, human collateral like that.
Right.
Human collateral. Like there is saving to be done, right? There is. It's just some people are bigger projects, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But what I have found is that the power of creation and the ability to listen to one another and try to find a commonality is one of the most human and inspiring things to see when it happens on such a smaller molecular level with an individual conversation. And then that blossoms into a really healthy communication relationship. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about once you've healed and you're internally feeling like that gift is ready to share, how to use it for a force for good. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're trying to provide some lift in a kind of a very heavier week.
I think that your best point so far, all of them are perfect and spot on, but I think that your best point is in times like this, when you know that, and I know that many, many people have said this, that this week and this incident is truly a turning point.
It's a compounded effect, though, Nancy. Like, this has been brewing for years.
4 years. And
it's been brewing for before the election, before, like, it's been brewing for a long time. This desensitization of all of this is right. This has taken decades, right? And we're in this moment right now.
And how do you bring the light?
How do
you tell me? You make this point. I'm asking you, tell us, because you know this.
Well, it starts
and
with,
you've done it. How do you bring and share the light?
The only way to persevere is with one clear understanding that it's always going to be messy out there. See, I think we wake up every morning looking for a level of perfection in our lives that isn't even possible.
But it's hope.
Yeah, but hope isn't actionable. See, here's the only problem with hope.
Okay.
Hope is an aspiration. I take it one step further. I can hope or I can do.
Ah.
But I can do both.
True.
I can hope and do,
mm-hmm.
but you can't just hope.
No.
There's no action there.
We got to do something.
So I'm an action-oriented guy. So the first thing when you ask how do you bring the light? The first thing you do is you do something with your gift. You do something. And often we don't even really know. We're in such we're so jumbled in so many ways that are all geared towards comfort and convenience that we've almost made sharing the gift feel like an inconvenience. Okay? Like, I got to go out of my way, quote unquote, outside of my comfort zone or outside of my schedule or I don't have time. And I think the first thing that it starts with is waking up every day understanding that if you have a very clear purpose, and I know mine, you know, mine is to use my gift of creation and creating to inspire people to create things that they might not be able to create individually or to inspire them to do just that, create them on their own.
But what do you do if you don't know?
It's
exactly.
Okay, but then you have the discussion to do the journey and search. Like, I believe that that's a cop-out.
Okay.
I don't believe people don't know. I believe enough people have told you that it's not a gift. See, it's my contention that it's just been depressed, covered up, unrealized.
Somebody talked you out of it.
Or ignored.
Right.
And then I think inherently when we're at a certain age, we're like, oh, that's my thing. Everybody has that it's my thing moment. It comes at a different age. It's early.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to stay the course with mine. I had supportive parents. I had a great support network. Said, okay, remember, this is the life you've chosen artistically. This is not going to be easy. You're going to have to find a way to turn that artistic mindset into something that you can monetize, into something that you can share, into something that is true to you. Whenever I have strayed from that creative impulse to just make something that I'm touching more beautiful and functional than yesterday, whenever I've strayed from that,
mm-hmm.
today I'm going to make something better. Today I'm going to fix something. Today I'm going to create something. When I have had that as my mission, when I've strayed from that, that's when I get depressed. That's when I stray. It's when I've gotten away from my gift.
Right.
So the first thing that you ask me is, how do you help people do it? You have to find it. Once you found that, it is imperative that you share it. And that is the piece that is the trick that we're going to talk about in segment four. Because what happens is sometimes that gift that you want to share isn't valued in your sphere. That is so sad. That in your work, the gift that you naturally bring isn't, you can't share it, right? Or it's not valued. Or in your family, that it's not valued. The gift, okay? And I don't mean the skill, okay? I'm talking about the right offering that you're giving where you're literally trying to connect and teach and coach. Not the one where you're doing for someone. Okay? Well, I'm good at this, just let me do it. No. That's not the gift. Okay? That's the skill.
Right.
The gift is something that you can offer that maybe somebody can take a piece of and enhance theirs. It could be encouragement. It could be love. It could be patience. See, it's built on the virtues.
Right.
It's built on good. See, Nancy, the share is built on good. So if your intent every day is to build on good, be very careful of people who wake up in the morning and aren't built on good. Negativity is a very, very, very powerful thing. So I watch that very carefully in my world. My level of negativity, I watch.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, I watch it in myself. That's where last week's show was very poignant. That's where, yes, when I realize I get in my own way, because my negativity keeps me from the optimism that naturally breeds an open look at possibilities and connection.
Yeah.
How do I do it, Nancy? How do I do it every day? I don't do it well every day. I try to do it to the best of my God-given ability. And some days I think I'm pretty good at it. And some days I feel like I was really bad.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I find that on the days I'm really bad, it's because I strayed from the true purpose and the simplicity of, hey, I'm just trying to share this with you. I hope you find some of it useful and helpful, but I'm actually offering it to you so that you can then find grow your gift and give me your, yeah, gift. Like, what's your gift?
Right. Right.
You know? Like, and that's when the relationship becomes easy, when there's this vulnerable exchange. Of I'm offering my gift, and listen, my gift isn't always accepted.
Right.
It gets slapped down. It gets batted around. It gets taken advantage of. Like, it happens. But that doesn't keep me from giving it. Because then you just stop communicating. And so this power of the creative, this is why I talk about so much about collaboration and the dynamics that kill it and depress it.
Mm-hmm.
Is because all that does is that keeps people from sharing their gifts. If we were just obsessed with understanding that we can complete each other with the collective gifts that are flying around out there in all of us, and that if everybody brings an offering to this table in whatever it is we're trying to create together, when you do that, there's an inherent bond. I mean, Nancy, we've been doing the show. I mean, I didn't know you before I did this show.
No.
But we get the chance to do the show for 10 years plus running. And I think we're probably even better at connecting now than we were when we first did it.
Of course.
Why? Because every day, every week, we get to get on the show and we get to try to connect on what is your point of view? What is, right, my point of view? And Nancy, you might not agree with everything I say to the fullest extent that I do, and vice versa. That doesn't matter.
No.
What doesn't matter is you see me, you hear me, I see you, you see me, right? And we have an exchange.
But we also have a unique situation where we are sitting in a room with no distractions, nobody else.
But we intentionally created the time and space.
Exactly.
And so what everyone's getting to hear,
right,
on this radio,
right,
is a relationship of communication, right, mm-hmm, that I think I would love everybody to try to strive for, but it doesn't begin from debate. Okay, debate starts with the understanding that somebody wins. So let's not... Debate and communication are different.
Very different.
Okay? Yes, I agree. We need healthy debate. All that means,
sure,
is good communication.
Right.
Now, I will tell you, I'm not going to toot our own horn, but ethnic families know this.
Yep.
Italian families know this. We speak very honestly. We speak very bluntly. And then at the same time, we raise a glass and we hug it out. And
that's what I was going to say, but then you move on.
Well, we move on because you understand that you have to be able to express yourself in that way and use your messy words, right, in order for there to be this really honest exchange that you know leads to some sort of common ground.
And the fact
is, we feared that. And it used to be, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Right? That used to be the moniker, which
right.
I get it. That's not healthy either.
No.
Okay, because sometimes people do need to be tactfully reminded of...
They need to be held accountable.
Yeah. I think there's a lot
right.
in there.
Right.
But I think the other side of it now is because we've become so indifferent, we don't want to say anything at all because we don't want to be judged. See, we're afraid of so many things. We are living in defense. We're living on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you
That's
ask me how
point.
You do it every day, you got to get up on offense every day.
Right.
Every day you got to get up on offense, and I'm not saying you need to be running around and recklessly sharing your gift,
right? Forcing,
but I have seen that done,
people.
And I have done that too. I have done it where I've shared my gift to people who were never going to appreciate it, and then had that response, "Why don't you like that?"
Right,
and then you overtry. Okay, we've all overtried with people we're never going to win over.
Right,
it just means that maybe my gift wasn't the right gift. Did you know that Coca-Cola did this experiment on colleges recently where they did twist caps? And the twist caps that fit together, they realized that students on college campuses were isolated, that it was hard to make friends early.
Okay.
So during freshman orientation or orientation in general, they would have Coke bottle and the connectors would have to fit together and you'd have to go around to different people to find what Coke bottle connected your Coke bottle in order for it to open. So
really?
your twist cap and their twist cap had to fit in order for you to open both Cokes.
Oh, geez.
And it forced communication.
Right.
It forced introduction. Okay. That actually is exactly what I'm talking about. That there was a circumstance that was created for connection. That used to be schools. That used to be neighborhoods. I think to a certain extent, it still is churches on some level. Okay? But that activity of trying to find the connection only happens if you bring your bottle.
Right.
You got to bring your gift. My gift is creativity. My gift is problem solving. My gift is trying to create something better than existed prior. That's why I love remodeling, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm almost saving something.
Right.
Instead of just building something new. We'd rather just discard and move on than try. I think now more than ever, the most important thing that I can encourage you to do is use your gift to try. We have to try. We have to do better. We don't just owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the next generation. Of young people who are trying to find their gift, identify their gift, and coach them to share it.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day. You've been coached.